Jesus said, did it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So pay attention to what I'm about to say. Amen. So, but he said, assuredly I say to you, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Now, all I'm saying, what if we just said, you know what, this year, I don't need to learn a bunch of other stuff. What if I just believe that? Prayed like I believe that, live like I believe that, that I can literally pray in His name and He will do it through me. Jesus said like this, it is my Father in me, He does the work. How many know Jesus dwells in us? The Spirit of God, God Himself, God the Father, God the, all of God is in us, and it's Him in us doing the work. And so many times we get focused on ourselves. If we ever just have that little bit of a paradigm shift that helps us see that it's God in us who desires to work through us for our good and for His glory. And I think that's a key. God wants to work, and He always works for our good, and He does it in a way that He gets glory. Isn't that awesome? I love that. So Matthew chapter 21, if you're there with me, and beginning in verse 12, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? I just think, God's house has been given, a lot of things have been ascribed to it, and we think about it in a lot of different ways, but Jesus really just said, my house is a house of prayer, period. That's what it's called. But you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Wow. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant or angry and said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read? I love it when He challenges the scribes, people with the word. Out of the mouths of infants, excuse me, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then He left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and He lodged there. Father, I thank You today for Your word. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Father, we thank You that You desire to reveal to us by Your Spirit everything that You have prepared for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose in our lives. So, Father, we want to learn. We want to believe. We want to see You glorified through our lives. So, Father, we open our hearts this year, maybe in a way that we never have before, to allow Your Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us into truth and into areas that we've never walked with You before. So, Holy Spirit, do what only You can do. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our eyes to see, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So look at the cover of your outline. And maybe you could write this down. What if we just made 2015 a year for answers? Not for requests, but a year for answers. Maybe put that on your outline. 2015, a year for answers. Why not? Amen. Especially when we have so much promise in the Word of God to believe that He will answer our prayer. So we read, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And four things basically happen there. Jesus comes into His house and He purifies His house. He drives everything that is impure out of it. Then the next thing that happens, He reestablishes what His house is there for. It is there for prayer. And once you have purity and once you have prayer, the next thing that happens, that the lame and the people who are sick are brought to Him, and the power of God is once again in His house. They weren't seeing that there. They had a bunch of other stuff going on in church, but they weren't seeing the power of God manifest in God's house. And then after the power is manifest, then praise truly came forth. Amen? And so that purity, power, and praise. For all the things that have been ascribed to God's house, to the church, and to our worship, there is only one thing that Jesus ever declared that His house should be known for, and that is prayer. Following His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, He went to the temple and set His house in order. hear it again. He restored its purity. He revealed its purpose, which is prayer, and released its power and received its praise. Hear me this morning. He takes his house serious. Jesus walked in and says, hey, my house shall be called. He takes his house serious. Amen? And most of you take your house serious. You wouldn't let me come in and trash your house, hopefully. You would let somebody else come in and trash your house, do whatever. Say, hey, wait a minute, this is my house. Or people conduct themselves improperly. Say, hey, you know what? You could do whatever you want in your house, but in my house, we have this standard. Amen? And so you would guard your house and protect your house. That's what God does with his house. But think about this. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The work of Christ in our life is the exact same. He takes you as his temple serious. And sometimes we wonder, well, how come when I come to church, I feel uneasy? How come I get this thing called conviction in my life? Because maybe there's some things that Jesus would like to get out of his house. Amen. When we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord and allow him to have a triumphant entry into our lives, our bodies become his temple. And when he comes into his temple, he always comes to restore purity. Amen. And there's a lot that's gone on today in the area of us losing conviction out about a lot of things. And so we become very, very concerned about making everybody comfortable. How many know Jesus wasn't really concerned about everybody's comfort when he went into the temple? And you go, oh, I'm sorry, did I offend you here? No, he wasn't concerned about anything. But wait a minute, first and foremost, I own this place. For a lack of a better term. But this is my house. Amen? This is my dwelling place. I established it. And this isn't what it's to be used for. How many know when God created man, most of what we're doing isn't what he had in mind for us? If you look at humanity today, you look at society today, and you go back to the beginning, we are not God's original intent. We're not living by that. We're not fulfilling his purpose for our lives according to how he created it. So think about what he does. The reason he comes to restore purity is so that he can reveal his purpose to us and then release his power and receive his praise in and through our lives. Think about it. Church is to be the place where we gather in the purity of his name, call upon his name in prayer, receive and see his power released and revealed, and offer up the praise that declares his glory. But it goes even deeper than that, because he no longer dwells in the buildings made by men's hands. Now for us, we call this church today, but this is not the church. This is a building where the church meets. We're the church. We're the body. The church, the body of Christ, is all the members, individual members, coming and being assembled together. And we may read it here. I have a little further in Ephesians 2. But we are jointly framed and fit together. We are built on the foundation of the apostles. And we are built into a holy temple. Members coming together. Which means that no matter where we are, whether we're in a building, inside a structure, or outside on a hill, the church is formed. Amen. And anytime that building comes together, then Jesus wants to be able to come into that place in purity. He wants that to be a place where prayer is being offered up, and then where his power can be revealed and his praise can be released. Are you with me this morning? So it is so powerful to understand that. So it goes deeper than that. He no longer dwells in buildings made by men's hands. He now again dwells in the only place that was ever created to be large enough to contain his fullness, the heart of man. You know, if you go, you could go in and we read there's all these great edifices of worship that have been built. I mean, down here in Sacramento, just right in Rancho Cordova here off of Folsom Boulevard, if you get off, that you can kind of see the top of it. And I haven't been there, but there's a very large and immaculate Mormon temple there. If you go to Salt Lake, that temple's cool. You can go to the Taj Mahal. That's a cool temple of what people call worship of God. And all the other places, if you read your history, you can go back to Solomon's temple. It was a magnificent place and all this stuff. But God says, hey, nice building. I just don't live there. The only place, no matter how big, build the biggest building, the most glorious out of it. Go down to Los Angeles, go to the Crystal Cathedral, cool, all glass, do all that stuff. Hey, awesome, whatever. Beautiful building. But that's what it is. It is a building, and no building, and this is kind of the dichotomy with God, or that just kind of a shift with it, is that God is able to put all that he is in us He gets more in us, in you. His fullness can dwell, but he can't be contained in anything else. Do you ever think about that? All that God is, you can be full of his fullness. But no matter how big of a building, it can't contain even a speck of him. Amen. It's crazy the way he worked, but it's such an amazing thing when we understand it. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. Let's just look at a couple. Watch this. Acts chapter 7. We can look at these. Amen. Acts chapter 7. And then if it ever goes off on side of us, it's amazing. Watch this. Go back to verse 44. Our fathers had a tabernacle. This is Stephen of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?" God says, man, no matter what, I made everything. If I made the universe and it all consists in me, how could you build something big enough to contain me? You can't. But this is what I did. I formed man and I made him, and he's able to contain me. And so here's a lot of times what we miss, even when we don't understand it. And I've been in service and we do it and we think, man, we want to see the glory of God come in the house, the glory of God. This house can't contain the glory, but this one can. Wait a minute, what if I wanted to see the glory of God filled in my life, to be filled with his glory? Because all of his glory can reside in that. Go with me to John chapter 1. Watch this. I love these few verses. John chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Of his fullness, not partialness, not just a little bit of. Now let me ask you, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that they being co-equal and being one, three distinct expressions of one Godhead. Three distinct expressions and manifestations of the one Godhead. Amen? So if I have any one of them, I have all of them in all of their fullness. So if I'm filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm filled with the fullness of the Father, and I'm filled with the fullness of the Spirit. When Jesus said, you know, be filled with the Spirit, and Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, and to ever be being filled. Come on, we can just be filled, and we can be overflowing, filled to a way that fullness flows out of us. Amen? Praise God. But nothing else can. The amazing thing about this building, we can come in here and we have presence, but as soon as we go out, you can feel the residual. People come in, oh, there's peace here. The only reason there was peace here is because we were here. Amen. Nothing else. You know what? Nobody. When this was an auto parts warehouse, nobody walked in here and said, wow, there's peace here. No, there's parts here. No peace here. There were parts here. Amen. Hallelujah. So watch it. Go with me to Ephesians 3. One more. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul praying, and part of his prayer here, and I like what my Bible said. This is a prayer for realization. Listen, Paul, this is a prayer that we would realize what is ours and who we are in Christ. A prayer for realization. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit," where? In the inner man, that Christ may what? dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now let me ask you that. If Christ dwells in your heart, does he like just cut up part of his pinky and put it in there? I mean, do we just get a part of him, or do we get all of him? Paul's saying that Christ may dwell in you. So if the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's dwelling in me, and John said that of his fullness we have received, and when we declare greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, what I'm saying in 2015, that if we really got our faith to begin once again to believe the Word of God, not just to read it, wait a minute, this is living reality. But Paul said this is his prayer for us to fully realize what God is doing in our life. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. Everybody say comprehend. That's a part, but how do we comprehend this? With all the saints, what is the width, length, and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, which means you're not going to get it in your head, you're going to understand it in your heart. Amen? You're going to believe it in your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled again with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works where? In us. Wow. So God said, that Paul's writing, there's this great power in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what an amazing statement. So whenever God is in a building, it is because men and women who are filled with his Holy Spirit have brought him into that place. If people ever come into our church, say, man, I felt the presence of God there. It's not because God showed up here without us. It's because people are alive in God and brought him with them. Amen. And then somehow we didn't just come in, but we actually brought him with us, and we kind of let some of him out. Church is to be the place where you come in and take your lid off. It's where what's in you kind of spills out and we all just kind of splash on each other. Amen. Because the Bible says, out of your innermost being flows rivers, is what Jesus literally declared, that rivers of life would flow out of us. So watch this. So we brought in, people have, Holy Spirit have brought him into the place, opened their hearts in worship to him, and he flows out of them, filling the place where they are. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17 is there in your outline, says this, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Again, religion told us over the year that Jesus got the Spirit without measure, but we have the Spirit in measure. I've never found that verse. John, in fact, you're there. Go with me to John chapter 3. Anytime somebody tells you something that makes God small in your life, ask him to give you the scripture for it. Anytime somebody takes away the fullness of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the provision of God, the faith of God in any way, and makes you dependent just upon yourself and diminishes God in any way, please ask them to give you scripture for it. Amen? John chapter 3, Jesus is being baptized, and John seeing him, and if go to verse 31. Act of verse 30. John writing here, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. When Jesus breathed on them in John chapter 1, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't give him by measure. When Jesus said in John 14, he that believes on me and the works that I do shall he do also, because I go to my Father. and I'll receive the Holy Spirit. And because I'm going, you'll receive the same Spirit that I've had and the same measure that I've had, and you'll be able to do the same work by the same power that I did, and not just that, but by greater works. Amen? So God gives the Spirit without measure. But religious told him, no, he was the Son of God, so he had the full measure, and we get like a quarter of a teaspoon. And some people didn't get any measure, that's why they don't have any faith. And they need somebody else to do all their praying and all their believing for them. Amen? And so we do that. And religion likes to do that, because if we're a religious church and we set things up, then if I want to be religious, then I need you, I want to make you dependent upon me. I want you to be dependent upon the church, on the facility, and being here instead of being released. The greatest power is when you release people to be who they are in Christ and not make them dependent upon you, on anybody, but who God is in them. Amen? And they start walking in that. That's what multiplies the church. Somebody ought to shout amen somewhere in here today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he doesn't give the Spirit by measure. Go back at your outline and look at 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God without measure dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. We don't have that on our refrigerators, do we? No, probably not. Amen. For the temple of God is what? Holy. Which temple are you? Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 6 and he encourages them, listen to the Message Bible. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? And what I'm saying to you this morning, if we catch it, Jesus came into his natural temple and says, hey, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And he drove out things that weren't there. But if we came back to that place, we started praying and said, Lord, do in me whatever you need to do to bring your purity back into my life. I want to be a place where that your purity abides in my house, so that I become a house of prayer. And because I am pure and because I am praying properly, then your power is manifest through my life. And not only is your power manifest through my life, but my praise is perfected. Amen? What a great transformation takes place. Or don't you realize your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. Amen. So let people, look at this. So let people see God in and through your body. When you come to Christ and people looked at you, if you were property or house, the name on your title deed is God. He is the name on the title deed of our life. Think about it. Our lives are now to be the vessels that he fills, like the temple of old. You and I are to be the holy of holies. His glory is to fill our temple. His praise is to flow out from us as it did from the old temple. Amen. Temple of old. Think about that. And we do that. We read in the old temple. We read where Solomon dedicated the temple and the glory of God filled the temple. We read about them and Zerubbabel. We read about all these great things and the glory of God coming in. We want to see the glory cloud, but we're trying to get it into a building, and God says, I'm trying to get it into you. My glory is to be in here and to flow out of you. And we start saying, God, let your glory fill this temple. Amen. Amazing things will happen here this morning. When we come in purity, he comes in power to answer our prayers, releasing our praise, and that praise is perfected praise. But think about it. If we back up just a little bit to the Sermon on the Mount, we discover two amazing truths that he revealed to everyone. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Are you with me this morning? Come on, we can make 2015 an amazing year. I think my beginning of the year sermon is going to be my sermon through the whole year. Probably for Christmas, I'll be saying, we can make 2015 a great year. Amen? Because if we don't stay active in it, we might let go a part of it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, everybody say pray. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your who? Father who is in the secret place, and your who? Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Wow. But Jesus is doing something here that's unheard of. For the first time, if you read the Old Testament, nobody understands a relationship with God as Father. We don't understand that. But Jesus is introducing a concept in relationship with God that nobody has ever heard presented before. But listen what God is saying. And this is what's hard for us today, is that many times we live in a society where family and fatherhood has been under attack for generations. The breakdown of the family, the role of the father. And so what do we see? We see vacated homes. We see, you know, single moms. We see deadbeat dads. We see all kinds of different things happening and that structure torn down. And so many of us, if you've grown up through broken homes and everything else, then people, wait a minute, I never had a father who was there. I never had that person there. Now you're telling me to relate to a father, but my experience with the father is something different than what you're telling me I can have with God. And we need to let God heal us and restore us so we can relate to Him as a loving Father. Somebody ought to say amen. And so with that, so hear it this morning. So He comes and He declares this to us, that we're now to approach God as Father, our Father. Never before had this been done in history, in the history of God with His people. Now through our redemption in Christ, we have received the position of sons and daughters and now cry, Abba, Father. What an amazing thing. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as such, He brings with Himself to our lives as the author and finisher of our faith and prayer, the substance of all things hoped for. How many know the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for? But Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. And so if I have Him, then I have the substance of my faith in me. I already have my answer dwelling in me. Amen? Wow. This is going to be a good year. Amen. It's going to be a good year. Watch it. So He declares this to us. But if we ever get that place, wait a minute. This is a personal relationship. And God has invited me into relationship with Him. And just think about that. Think about how confident our children in loving homes, in godly homes. When a home is in the right order, children are able to come to the parent and make requests of their children and not of their father and not be made to feel small or to be put down. Amen. I mean, that's the fun thing really about Christmas and birthdays or other things like that, is watching the boldness of your children to ask for the moon. And to believe that you're El Shaddad. Amen. I'd like, you know. And you go, wait a minute, that's about $9,000. I know it's not that much, huh? I mean, the way they think, it's like, da-da-da-da-da, that you're able to do anything. You could provide for anything. You love them enough that you would do that for them. And then you let them know that sometimes the answer to prayer is no. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. So watch this. So God gives us that. But then after that, after assuring us that we can come to Him and do that, He brings us God. The Lord over and over builds our assurance. He builds assurance in relationship with God and tells us we can approach God as a Father and that we have this great healing and restored relationship with God. And then in Matthew chapter 7, turn over there and look at it with me. In just a few verses, He goes on and He says this in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. So He tells them how to pray. He defines their prayer. He simplifies their prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worshiping the name of God and honoring God. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Teaching us how to have right priorities with God and see things personally and deal with things as we should, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so he gives us this order to our lives, but then he brings us over and he continues to teach us on prayer. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks what? And everyone who seeks what? And to him who knocks, it will be what? Open. Wow. So he gives us six. He says it, but he multiplies it again, and he gives us these six affirmatives. Think about it. He reveals the truth of receiving what we ask the Father for. He affirms that we can ask, seek, and knock, and that in doing so, we will receive. He makes a sixfold declaration to assurance of our prayers being answered. We come away wondering why he would think it so needful to make such an assurance. Why does Jesus say it and then re-say it with a greater affirmation? Now, everybody, he says, ask, seek, and knock. When you ask, you're going to see. But then he goes, certainly I tell you, for everyone who asks, receive. How many here would classify yourself as an everyone? So look at what he's saying. Everyone who asks, receive. So is it too bold to put up in our sanctuary, God answers prayer? Because Jesus said, everyone who asks, receive. People have reduced it down. Well, you know what? I'll put it up here, and I believe hopefully something will happen. That isn't what the Lord just said. He says, you have a Father in heaven. And assuredly, as our children can come to us and ask us to give good gifts. In fact, Jesus even goes on after that. Look at what he said. If you then being evil, verse 11, know how to give good gifts to your children. Wow. How much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. We should never be able to see anybody in goodness greater than God. You agree with me this morning? Amen. Watch this. So he reveals that because believing that God hears is one thing. Most people believe that he hears. But believing with assurance to receive is another altogether. Say, oh yeah, I believe God hears prayer. But do you believe to receive with that same assurance? We come away wondering. And so it follows. Is another thing. It flows from the true faith, which is beyond the reach of just a half-hearted request. This prayer is not what you try and then move on to another option if and when it doesn't work. I think sometimes we have that. We have plan B in case prayer doesn't work. Well, I'll pray, and if God doesn't answer, then we can always do this. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. This prayer is the prayer that stakes its life upon receiving the answer. Are you hearing me this morning? If we're really going to pray and receive, then you have to stake your life upon receiving the answer. That's it. I have no other option. Refusing to give up without the answer. Now let me put you like this. Sometimes it means you may have to pray a long time or stay in prayer for a long season. The problem with, you ever watch people today? No matter what. I remember the first computer we had was a K-Pro 10. We got it at the Christian school in Beaver, California. And it was about, I think it was like 8 inches tall. It was a box. And the keyboard folded up on the top. It was a metal box. It was like portable. And you could take the keyboard off. And inside was this little monochrome screen. And that, and you held that down, and it had like 8 megs of memory or something. It was something crazy. I don't even know it had that. And you had to use DOS language and all this stuff, and I didn't even know how to spell DOS, let alone use DOS and stuff. But you had all this stuff, we could do this, we could keep our school records in there and all stuff, but then wait for it to load up, and then wait for it, and then you had to go over to the printer with the little ribbons on the thing. But we were going, this is awesome! And now, do you know you have more technology right here in your hand, in your phone, than what was in Apollo 13 that went to the moon? Isn't that amazing? There's more computer power in this than there was on Apollo 13, going to the moon and all of our lunar landings. It's crazy. Our car, that's what God told us on our car. Our cars today have more technology in them than the lunar landers did. I bet those guys landed on the moon with that stuff and got back. But see, today we want everything so fast. And if it's not fast, oh, get a new fast. Your phone will be faster. Get the new phone. Get this. It'll be faster. It'll be faster. It'll be faster. It'll be faster. Now, I'm just saying this to you because that's how you're conditioned every day. And God doesn't answer according to you wanting it fast. He answers according to His time. And everything that, because you are part of His purpose and His plan. He is fulfilling His purpose and His plan in the earth, and He's invited you into it. You're invited into what God is doing. He didn't create you to be invited into what you're doing. God didn't say, hey, I have nothing to do. I think I'll make man to keep myself busy. No, He says, I think I'll make man and invite him into who I am. And ask him to be a part of what I'm doing in the earth and throughout eternity. And so in His plan, my life is connected in that. And so when I'm praying, I'm believing. And so I can rest in that. That means that I can pray and I can rest and I can wait patiently for the answer. I can wait on the Lord. And even while I'm waiting on the Lord, I will be renewing my strength. I won't be getting anxious. I won't be worrying. But I will wait on the Lord because I prayed. In that prayer, I have this confident assurance that if I ask, He hears me. If I knock, He opens. If I seek, I find. Amen? And so I'm fully assured and I am at rest in Him. I am at peace in Him. And at that, I'm getting stronger. And it may look like it's not happening. People say, how do you have your peace? Well, because I have God's Word and I am in His time and I am in His plan and His purpose of being fulfilled in my life. And besides that, He's in me and I don't feel any turmoil on the inside of me. His peace abides with me. Hey, so it works. Amen. It just works. But around us, we're being pressured so much. Go faster. Do this. Get here. Get there. Well, how do I get there? La, 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 la. And so now we even got our governor going to build a bullet train to Fresno where nobody wants to go. And build a super train to Fresno. Who wants to get? My question is, where do you go from there? Well, no, we're just going to go back real quick too. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's where you get out there and get back. Say, can I have a round? Everybody buys round trip tickets. Amen. So, poor Fresno, my wife said. Amen. Hallelujah. But watch. So, Paul uses this truth when he encourages the people in Philippi not to worry because they can approach God with their needs and make their request known to God. Listen to these last few verses. We get ready to close. Philippians 4, verses 6, 7. I love the way the Message Bible says it. Don't fret or worry. You know, I listen a lot to people talk. I hear way too much worry in the body of Christ. You will hear probably 80% worry and maybe 20% faith being spoken in the body today. We're way upside down. Way upside down. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, what? What a novel idea. Instead of worrying. Look at Paul's writing to a group of believers. Don't fret, be anxious about anything. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. The word peace means this. The word shalom or peace is literally what it means is wholeness. It means nothing broken, nothing missing, and nothing lacking. When you grant and you give somebody a greeting when a person greets you in the Jewish greeting of shalom, it is peace be upon you. May nothing be broken, missing, or lacking in your life. Peace. Shalom. Wholeness be upon you. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down in you. Wow. Everything coming together for good, everything coming to good, will come and settle down in you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Amen. When Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Have you ever seen that Dawn dish? This just came to me. Dawn dishwashing liquid thing, and they have the grease floating on the water, and they put one drop of Dawn in there, and all the grease goes. That's what Christ does to your worry. Just one drop of His presence dispels all that scum out of our lives. The Amplified says it like this: don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, this is definite request. What are we going to do? We're going to write some definite requests on this wall. And next Sunday, that's what we're going to do. I'm encouraging you to come next week. We're going to fill out prayer requests. I'm going to give the state of the church address. We'll tell you what last year was, what we're doing. And then we're going to give our, I guarantee it'll be better than the state of a union address. But anyway, but then we're going to write prayer requests up here. And we're going to begin. And quickly, we're going to start seeing God answer prayers. Amen. Because we're going to make definite requests. Listen to what the Amplified says. Definite requests with thanksgiving. We're going to worship God. We're going to thank Him for the answer. What that means is that you make the request. And because you have, listen, this is what's so powerful. Is that God said, if you ask, if you seek, you knock. Whoever does that, when you ask, seek, and knock. So not only can I make my request, but the moment I make it, I can begin to say thank you as if I already. Already, it's kind of like going in, I give it, and then He gives the answer. As soon as I give it, He gives the answer. Okay. And so then at that time, who cares that it takes a little bit of time to get it? Amen? And I love what my friend Jerry Savelle said. He says, we all live between amen and there it is. That's just where you live. You live there. Amen? There it is. And you live your, but it doesn't matter because knowing that it is going to be there. God does come through. He does keep His word. God is not a man that He should lie. So any place Jesus said, now listen, if there's a thought, yeah, but I pray and that, good, nice that, but that's a lie. That thought, I didn't say you were a liar. I said, that thought is a lie. Because Jesus says, everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, it is open to them. So maybe my asking, my seeking, and my knocking needs to be adjusted. My asking needs to be adjusted. And deal with that. But if I do it according to His word, and I'm being led by the Holy Spirit in that, and I'm following His promises, then He answers every time. Amen? So Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus says this, He amplified. Form your worries into definite prayer requests. Let the wholeness of God settle down on the inside of you. Believe that you receive your request from God. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. That's Jesus. Form your worries into prayers. Amen. That's where Paul gets it from. And let the wholeness of God settle down on the inside of you. Believe that you receive your request from God. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Yeah, but Pastor, I know. I don't care. There has to be something in you that says, if it's not what the Word says, I don't care. I agree with the Word, not circumstances or experiences in people's lives. Because my Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's not degrading or putting people down. But until I cross that bridge to where God's word is the only source of truth in my life, then I'll be talked out of something. People say, well, I believe in healing as long as I'm seeing people healed. Well, the first time you don't see it, you won't believe it. I'm believing it because God said it, not because I've seen it. If I never saw anybody healed, I would still believe. It was awesome. The other day, we're having our internet provider change at the house, so a guy came out to look at our place and with Comcast and that. So he's telling us about his things, and I said, yeah, I used to install cable when I was going to Bible school back in the day when we still had to hook poles and climb poles. He goes, oh, I did that. I burned out on a pole. I got the scars to prove it. I said, really? He goes, yeah. The next thing you know, he's taking off his shirt and showing me a scar. Like, and so he had this big scar up here. I said, I did the same thing. I cut out too. Really? I said, yeah. And I was scheduled for skin graft to go in. And in the hospital, the day I was in surgery being prepped for skin graft, that Sunday before, I'd been prayed for by an evangelist in church, and they took the bandages off, and they were getting ready, and the doctor came in to do pre-op just before they wheeled me in the room to start transplanting flesh, and he looked at my arms, and he said, there's new skin growing on your arm. I said, God grew new skin on my arm. He goes, whoa, glory to God. I said, are you a believer? He goes, yes. I said, ah! So we're out in the driveway having fun. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but wow, see, so I see, for me, God's done miracle. And we make it happenstance and hit and miss. It's supposed to be, listen, my Bible says healing is the children's bread. Amen. So we'll have up here, we'll have salvation, we'll have healing, we'll have provision, we're gonna have marriages, and then we're gonna have family and friends. So any of those areas, relationship, and then the promises of God, we should be believing in every area. And then when we ask, we believe that we receive. Amen? Watch this last verse with me on the last page of your outline. If somebody come to the keyboard, please. Jesus was matter of fact. The Message Bible says it like this, Mark 11, 22 through 25. Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it. Now listen, this is Jesus. And nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling, no shilly-shallying. What is shilly-shallying anyway? I like that term. Maybe one of my new phrases you hear a lot. Look what it says. And it is as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you will get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. So what am I saying to you this morning? Don't take my word for it, take His. Listen to everything that Jesus said. What happens? Give Jesus entrance into your life. We read in Matthew 20, He made an entrance into Jerusalem. He came to fulfill. But in your life, in my life, He only comes by invitation. God only has the access that we give to Him. And to think about that, when He created everything, the only thing He ever created big enough to contain all of Him was you and me. Humanity. Man will be able to contain all that I am in my fullness. So allow the Holy Spirit to bring His purity to your life, purging and cleansing His temple. Just bow your heads with me this morning.